Welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL, folks. We are thrilled to be joined by a certified black and gold legend. Fresh off the announcement, he's going to be going into the Saints Hall of Fame. One of the greatest running backs in franchise history on the line. Mark Ingram. Mark, welcome and congratulations. Thanks for joining us.
Man, appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for having me.
So what does it mean to you? What is that feeling knowing that you're going to be permanently etched in Saints history?
Oh, man, it's a tremendous blessing, a tremendous honor. The team that drafted me, the city that embraced me, so many amazing memories, so many amazing relationships. It's just an awesome feeling to know that I'll be connected to the Saints franchise and this city for the rest of my life, and just proud that I left enough of an impact and enough of an impression that I was able to, you know, get the call to be a part of the Saints Hall of Fame. It's a tremendous blessing and an honor.
Mark, Mike Haas here. Just, and I love how, no matter, you played for, you know, many years, right? Baltimore, New Orleans. But when it comes down to it, you go back. The memory is that draft night, right? When you fall in a little bit. And then you get that call, the 504 number. I mean, that kind of, that's a memory that, I don't care, we could talk 20 years from now. That's still going to be etched at the top.
Yeah, of course. Like you said, man, you know, going into the draft thinking you're going to be a top 15, top 20 pick at worst, and then, you know, obviously stuff in the draft happens. You slide a little and not knowing if you're going to get picked in the first round or not. And then, like you said, that 504 number popped up, and Mickey's on the phone. He's like, "Hey, Mark, this is Mickey Loomis. We just traded back into the first round to get you. Everyone over here is going crazy." Gave the phone to Sean, and, you know, from that moment on, I've been forever indebted to New Orleans and the Florida League, and just wanted to make sure I, you know, made the city proud, made the organization proud for believing in me, and, you know, getting that nod, getting that call to be in the Saints Hall of Fame, man, that really comes full circle. Moment where that phone call turned into be, you know, a productive career. Where I, you know, learned so much on the field, but developed so many relationships off the field, and New Orleans is a special place in my heart forever.
You know, Mark, congrats again, obviously. When you obviously ended up departing after the 2018 season, had a couple really good seasons in Baltimore, over in Houston, and then that 2021, where, you know, midway through the season, the Saints needed that running back help, and they went and got you. How much did that mean for you to come back? Obviously, when you left, you were like just a few yards shy of the rushing record. You know, how much can you just go through that season and what that moment was like where you found out, hey, I'm going to go back? And then, obviously, you set the rushing record. It's since been passed by Alvin Kamara. But just kind of go through what was going through your mind in 2021.
Well, yeah, so I was free agent, and I just left Baltimore, and you know, I had some calls, but my receivers coach in Baltimore took the head coaching job in Houston and wanted me to come. And, you know, they gave me a chance. They gave me an opportunity. Kind of won the starting job over there. Was able to be productive and, show that I could still, you know, be productive in this league in year 11. And, you know, just they were going through their own kind of time, their own little struggling time, you know. And, you know, they called. My coach called me. Coach Kelly called me. He was like, "Man, the Saints just called for you." He was like, "Out of respect for you, like, I want to let you know, hey, like, they called, and they I think they want to trade for you. If it wasn't for who you are and what you did there, I wouldn't even entertain the call." And, you know, and I appreciate them for being honest and transparent and giving me an opportunity. And then, you know, they made the trade happen and ended up having to go back to New Orleans. And that was just amazing. Like, I appreciate Houston for what they did for me. They were transparent. They were honest. They gave me a chance. If I hadn't had that opportunity, who knows if the Saints would have traded back for me, because I had the opportunity to showcase my skills to be productive back when I was in Houston. Then I came back, and, that first game, I remember it was versus Tampa. Ooh, that chant was crazy. And we had a big win against Tampa that game. So, man, that year was started off, you know, kind of like, you know, having to prove myself again in year 11 that I could do this at a high level in year 11. And then halfway through the season, Sean and the Saints wanted me to come back. and came back, and man, I was glad to be able to, you know, finish my last year and a half in New Orleans, a place where I began my career. Once again, man, it was a full circle moment, and I was able to, you know, get the rushing record, which has, you know, which Alvin has eventually broke, but to be able to say that I left the franchise as the rushing touchdown leader and the rushing touchdown and the rushing yards leader, you know, that was a great moment to be able to experience.
Mark, I'm sure you probably knew this question was coming, but you and Alvin were so close. I mean, you wouldn't, you know, there was the time when you wouldn't, the post-game interviews wouldn't start till you were both standing there together. You did them together. He's on the roster, looks good, came as a minicamp. I mean, you know, he's had a rough patch with the injuries. You can look at that two ways. Well, okay, he's older, but he hasn't had the wear and tear of the hits the last two or three years. Where's Alvin's head, and where do you see with him in this future?
I think he can play at a high level still. You know, injuries happen in football. It doesn't matter what your age is, and sometimes, you know, it's not just him. There's injuries on the roster, injuries to the offensive line, injuries to quarterbacks, different movement, different coaches, and you know that all affects an offense. That all can affect you know, the production of a player. And I still believe Alvin is one of the best backs in the league. He can do everything. He can run inside. He can run outside. He can still catch the ball. He can still pick up pass protection. Still a great leader within the locker room. So, I mean, he's an asset to any locker room that he's a part of. And then you add ETN with him. I think that's just a crazy duo. And I think it's not a bad thing for him. I think that'll obviously be able to take some workload off of him, keep him fresh, keep him healthy, and be able to extend his career longer if he wants to continue playing. But Alvin is just Alvin Kamara is one of one, and he could play. I'm sure he could play this game at a high level for the next 5 years if he wanted to. But Alvin's also a man of many different talents, many different things that he has going on. So at the end of the day, it's all about what Alvin wants. And from what I experienced, he still wants to play the game. He still wants to be in New Orleans. He doesn't want to be anywhere else. And the way he's training, the way he's working has never changed. And I still think he could do this at a high level and be an asset and a huge playmaker for the Saints.
Yeah, you know, Mark, one of my favorite things about your career is that your rushing total with the Saints is exactly 6,500 yards. I love that. I love the even number. It makes you feel good.
That's crazy.
But, you know, one thing that's also really interesting about your career is, you know, the tandems you worked with, right? You came into the league and you had to find a way to assimilate into a room, Pierre Thomas and Darren Sproles, two incredibly talented players.
And Chris Ivory.
And Chris Ivory, correct. And then, obviously, when Alvin got drafted in 2017, it was a room with you, Adrian Peterson, and Alvin. Obviously, AP wasn't here that long. But what do you think are the keys to making a situation like that work, where you have so many mouths to feed, and you know, some of your most productive seasons were with that, in that tandem with Alvin Kamara?
It's not easy. You know, you just kind of have to be prepared whenever your number is called, and that's easier said than done, because, you know, as backs, you like to be a rhythm player. You like to get touches. You like to feel the game. You like to feel how the linebackers are responding, how the D-line is responding. You like to get lathered up and not get a carry and get pulled out, not knowing you're not going to touch the ball again. So you kind of just have to learn to capitalize on all your opportunities, be prepared on all your opportunities, and make the most of every single rep, whether be where you're supposed to be in the pass game, so you get your hands on the ball on a check down or on a free release route, you know, get your touches, you know, get some contact and pass pro chips. You just got to find a way to stay involved, stay focused, stay locked in, and also continuing to improve, because, you know, your role might be, you know, base and short yardage or a pass pro, but you got to continue to work all aspects of your game, so when those opportunities do arise, you're confident in your ability, and you can go execute. So you can show your value that way as well. Like, oh, shoot, maybe we need to put them more in on passing up. Oh, maybe we do need to put them more in on goal line. Oh, maybe we do need to, you know, put them more in pass protection situations. So the more you do, the better. The more that you show that you can do it, the more confident your coaches get to expand your role. And you just got to remain confident, got to continue to work on all aspects of your game, and focus on, you know, capitalizing when your number's called, and it's a lot easier said than done. But fortunately, I was able to kind of figure that out and be able to, you know, be able to produce in those type of situations.
Mark, one of the most impressive things, I think, with you two as well, being an Alabama guy, coming to the Saints, winning over the hearts of a lot of LSU fans, obviously, here in Louisiana. What do you think it is about your game that was so endearing to fans that they appreciated?
It wasn't easy. You know what I mean? It took some time. It took some time, but I just think, you know, the passion, the energy, the love for the game, the love for my teammates. You know, I think, you know, just trying to improve every single day, trying to get better, continuing to excel, you know, there's ups and downs, but just staying the course, staying focused. I think, you know, over time, the ups and downs, injuries, you know, lack of production early on, whether it was role, whether it was injuries, whether it was, you know, crowded backfields, but I think the ability just to stay the course and be able to capitalize when I did have my time in 2014, made the Pro Bowl, had some big games when I was the lead back. 2015, 2016, I was having a really good year before I hurt my shoulder. 2017, Pro Bowl year, 2018, you know, we had a great team. I think just over the years, just consistently improving, consistently getting better. I think, you know, Louisiana knows real. They respect real. They respect hard work. They respect resilience. They respect overcoming adversity. And I think a lot of the fans saw that over my career, and I think they learned to grow to love and appreciate it. And, you know, some do, some don't. And I appreciate everyone. You know, I appreciate the people who believe in me. I appreciate the people who didn't. And it all made me to the man that I am today. And so I'm thankful for the city of New Orleans. I'm thankful for that Florida Lee. I'm forever indebted to it. And, yeah, that's that, man.
Yeah, Mark, one of the topics that came up today, and I need your official ruling on it. You were a member of both rosters, 2011, 2018, two of the best offenses in Saints history. But which one ranks at the top?
I said that I was going to give the nod to 2018 because I had a bigger role in the offense.
All right.
That's
got
what
it.
I said. I said I was going to give the nod to 2018 because I had a bigger role in the offense at that point in my career.
You know,
there were two really, 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 really good teams. I mean, the offense in 2011 was ridiculous. I think our offense in 2018 was ridiculous. The defenses, both were strong. You can make the argument for whatever you want. Both teams easily should have won the Super Bowl. It's not a reach to say that. But unfortunately, we came up a little bit short. And, you know, I just say 2018 because I had more of a prominent role in my eighth year than I did in my rookie year.
You know, and Mark, just one more question. Are you aware that you are still to this day the most recent 1,000-yard rusher for the Saints?
Yeah, man. yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about, especially with all the production Alvin has had. But, yeah, man, I don't think there was one for a while until I did it in 2014.
Right.
and now I think I did 14, I did 17, and I did 19 in Baltimore, but yeah, 17 was the last year for a 1,000-yard rusher. Yeah, that's crazy, especially with how many yards AK has ran for. But yeah, it's going to go down soon. You know, it's going to go down soon. We need it to if we want to get to where we got to go.
Hear that.
The newest member getting inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. Congratulations again, Mark. Great hearing for you. Truly well deserved, and look forward to that moment happening in the Dome this season. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, man. Who that?
Who that? Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Who that? Mark Ingram here joining us on WWL Saints Radio.